The Angry Chicken Hearthstone podcast is produced by amove.tv. Check out amove.tv for more podcasts covering Blizzard games. For more of Jocelyn's gaming podcasts, visit jossplays.com. And to find many more podcasts with Ridiculous Hat, follow at Ridiculous Hat on Twitter. Every episode of TAC is made possible thanks to our legendary patrons over at patreon.com/TAC.
Time's up. Let's do this.
Greetings. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Angry Crab Rave, the podcast all about crabs raving to sick remixes of your favorite Hearthstone tunes. I'm Garrett, here as always, not dropping illegal drugs with Jocelyn Carney and Ridiculous Hat.
What?
Isn't that what you do at raves? I've literally never been to one.
Yeah, I don't think that any of us are aware of the specifics, but, you know, that wasn't suspicious.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I go to shows where people intentionally beat people up in a circle. That's where I go. I don't know what happens at raves. Apparently there's crabs.
Apparently.
If today is any indication.
If today is any indication. One of the greatest or the greatest pre-expansion activations, as they say in marketing.
So I recognize that without context here, some listeners may be confused. So today on the Twitch channel,
some Josses are very confused.
So today on the Twitch channel,
busy work day.
There was a crab rave. And I know that you think that's code for something. No, no, no. It was a bunch of techno music and Hearthstone remixes and other stuff, and a bunch of dancing crabs with flashing lights while the music was playing. It was a crab rave. The crabs were raving. There's no deeper meaning here or any confusion. It was rad.
I was like trying to say it really fast in my head, like crab rave, to see if there was like a word I was missing or a pun or something. No, it's just raving crabs. Okay.
We are all millennials here, and I will be the first to admit that our generation has stripped the word literally of its meaning. But when I say on twitch.tv/playHearthstone today, there was literally a crab rave, I mean just that.
You mean literally
hosted a crab rave.
That's it was insane. Cool. I left it on as background music at work all day. Got a YouTube drop. Got a free pack for listening to music.
It was going all day?
It was eight hours.
That's awesome.
All day. The sweatiest crabs. Well, they would have been sweaty, except they were crabs, so they were already underwater.
Do crabs sweat?
But I don't think they have sweat glands, but I'm not a marine biologist.
Even if they did, they were underwater. They were in the sunken city having a rake.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I'm assuming it's like dogs. No, crabs pant now is my follow-up question.
I mean, I thought everything had to sweat. This is a big aside.
It's the medically uninformed chicken.
For once, not our fault. It is actually the Hearthstone team's fault for hosting an 8-hour crab rave on the official Hearthstone Twitch channel.
They should have expected this.
What do you expect me to do a podcast dedicated to a single game, and that single game is Hearthstone, and the Hearthstone team decides that they should host an 8-hour crab rave, and I am not going to go on the podcast dedicated to Hearthstone and talk about a crab rave? If you are expecting that, I don't know how your brain works. I'm also not sure how Hearthstone team brains works, but I'm so happy it works that way. Because that was delightful. I too had it on for way too long to not get a Twitch drop, but you know, clearly not long enough. I guess I didn't even leave it on long enough. So
yeah, it has to be unmuted for an hour. I think, I don't know. I just opened a new window and muted the browser instead of muting the Twitch page, and that's how you get it.
That's my mistake. Yes. I was doing some video editing, so I had to mute it every once in a while to like gain. I don't even say my sanity back, but actually, you know, be able to edit correctly because I had to
do your job
things. Yes. Yes, indeed. I don't think my client would have enjoyed B-roll just being in places that have nothing to do with what the B-roll represents. That would have been, you know, problematic. We want to talk about networking, and then like the picture, the B-roll of networking is just over off at "Hi, my name is" introduction. Yeah, that wouldn't be good. This is a deep cut. I hope the three of you listening that also edit and have to use B-roll feel really connected with me right now. I'd appreciate that. And please let me know by tweeting at me something very specific at Garrodart. Thank you. Anyways.
You know who our clients are, Garrett?
Our clients are our lovely patrons over at patreon.com/TAC. Are they clients? They're our bosses. We are their, we're their employees. It's been a long time since I have made this analogy, and I'm going to make it again. I've had a lot of bad bosses. And we have literally, and again, I'm using this word as intended, we literally have hundreds of bosses over at patreon.com/TAC. Because if you go to patreon.com/TAC and you sign up to support this podcast, be it a dollar or more, whatever works for you works for us, you are now helping us pay the bills. You are now giving us a paycheck, which makes you one of our bosses. I've had a lot of bosses in my life. Most of them have not been particularly great, but somehow we have hundreds of them over at patreon.com/TAC, and they're all wonderful people. They're great. I don't know. Laws of averages should be working against us here. We have hundreds of wonderful bosses over at patreon.com/TAC. So if you'd like to be a wonderful boss, if you'd like to break the cycle of horrible bosses, real ones, not the movies that are kind of funny, check out patreon.com/TAC. And we have a lot of names to thank this week. This is the biggest windfall of new patrons in a very, 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 very long time. Thank you to Eric Odea, James Wallace, Dirk Hussman, Weston Werner, Joachim Bernhardsen, and Alex Vigdeman. Thank you so much, all of you, for signing up, deciding that we give you enough value that you want to give value in return over at patreon.com/TAC. Enjoy your patron-only Discord server access. We'll see you over there and enjoy your ad-free version of the show. If you need the walkthrough, the little step-by-step for getting signed up for your personal RSS feed, hit us up in the Discord. I may have a link that I keep on my hotbar at all times because I get that question every once in a while. So welcome. Thanks for the support. Moving on, I believe there's a few other top of the show businesses that need to be taken care of. What are we going for first? One of us being right or cool guests next week?
First one.
Okay.
Hey, Joss. You were right.
About what? I mean, yes, obviously, but about what?
I believe we got a DM from James W., the newest patron, that, you know, of course, had some very kind words, some nice things to say, and mentioned Joss didn't say it because she's kind, but she totally called Life Drinker. Now, first of all, the implication here is that Garrett and I are not necessarily kind. I think I understand where you're coming from. However, it's important, Joss, that we recognize your, we want to recognize your success, Joss. You did call Life Drinker. So I had a soundbite last week for me. I have a soundbite this week for you. Joss was right.
Adorable.
And now I'm going to be kind and not mention all the times I was right. I feel like by the transitive property, we are always being kind whenever we don't talk about what we were right about.
Yeah, there you go.
So at this exact moment, I'm being kind. At this exact moment, Hat's being kind. And at this exact moment, Jocelyn's being kind.
We're very kind here at the Angry Chicken.
Yep. Yep. Now, if we could just pour one out for Rindling's rifle for no particular reason, I would appreciate it.
I'm going to pour one out into my face.
Okay. Sounds good. And I'm going to pour on a teaser because you should definitely tune in to next week's episode. And why is that, Hat?
Because we're being joined by Alkali Lake, the amazing community manager for Hearthstone. She just had this awesome interview over at esports.gg. Really good stuff. You should go read it. And called out, it's a large paragraph on the screen, talking about Hearthstone's creator program. And she said over to Rain over at esports, "You are getting the scoop here on when this is going to be revealed. I'm going to be doing a tell-all on the upcoming creator program. It's going to be on April 18th with the Angry Chicken Podcast.
That's us!
That is us.
How awesome is that?
Pretty awesome. On a scale of 1 to 10, like, I think it's really awesome.
I just like seeing this promotion in a giant pull-out quote in the article itself. You know, it just warms the deepest recesses of my heart.
I'm really excited about being able to talk to her about the creator program, because I think that that's something that, like, not just Hearthstone, I think it's been kind of a problem across a lot of Blizzard properties, is that there's always been kind of like rumors of all of these like different, whether they're Discords or whether they're like, well, WoW has those like lockdown community forums now. And like, there's always been these like, almost like backdoor who knows who networking things going on. And it's just like, it's so nice that Hearthstone is coming out and saying, hey, are you a creator? Do you like making Hearthstone content? Then here are your steps, XYZ, like much like what Twitch did with the affiliate and partner program, though obviously that still has a whole lot of issues. But at least like laying out the steps from these big companies as to like how to get access to their thing is so helpful for people in the creator space. So I'm really excited that we get a chance to actually sit down with Blizzard and talk to them about like what people are going to have to do and like what the guidelines are around getting access like straight to the team. This is going to be a really, really cool conversation. I'm excited.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think about like way back in the day, because that's how long Hearthstone's been around, that we can say things like way back in the day and we mean it. I didn't know what the hell we were doing. I didn't know how to get like access to the team on this show. I literally brought business cards to BlizzCon.
Yeah.
And there was like a Hearthstone dev meetup. We got wind of that was at one of the community. It was like a tent, which is a weird thing. I don't know why there's tents in an indoor location, but that's a pretty common thing at conferences. We're like, oh, over at the community tent, let's go. I think you might have come with me, Joss, but I remember being in a hurry and got there late, and like no one from the Hearthstone team was left except all the way back then, Yongwoo. This is the first time I ever met the dude. And he's like, oh, yeah, work on Hearthstone. I was like, oh, cool. Here's a business card, which now sounds like I am an unhinged human being when I think about it. Like, I have a podcast, a digital product. Here is a piece of printed out cardboard with information about that digital product on it. Please take this. Please don't think that I'm going to murder you later. I would appreciate that. Thank you. And it is somehow work because dude actually like listened to the show and admitted as much that the, what I think now is an unhinged business card worked. Something tells me that's not going to be on the rundown for the new community.
Yeah.
Guidance.
Have business cards will not be on the checklist.
I don't think that's going to be a thing. I'm just saying it. This may be a bold prediction, but I don't think we're going to hear about have business cards next week.
The world's a little different now than it was back then. Also, we don't have BlizzCons currently. But I don't know. I bet you made an impression. But also, yeah, just the idea of like, how do you... Because the step is really, step one, you ask them. And step two, they get back to you. And step two is the hard one. But step one, still, a lot of people don't even know that they can ask or how to ask or what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And
the idea of who.
Yeah, or who, and the idea of walking up to someone and bravely handing them a professional document with all of your contact information, I think there's some appeal there, and it works in the movies sometimes, so I totally understand.
Yeah, you just gotta be super cool about it and be like, hey,
yeah,
here's my card.
That would work on me right now.
Yeah,
if you walked up to me and handed me a card, I'd be like, I'm a caller back.
It's not handing you a card, it's the between the fingers move.
Okay.
Like you're too cool for school.
I have never been too cool for school.
I have never been too cool for anything.
Yeah.
I was. Remind me after the show about, I literally had a conversation today questioning how I ended up in the line of work that I'm in because I never consider myself outgoing or confident. And yet here I am talking to an effing microphone all day, putting my random thoughts out into the world for strangers to listen to. I guess that's probably it. Probably don't need to remind me after the show now. That's what happened. You have the whole story. Moving on, we have an expansion coming out. we got to take part in a theory crafting stream. And when I say we, I want to say literally again and mean it as intended. We literally got to stream together, all three of us, Thursday. You should just, if you missed it, go to twitch.tv/ridiculous hat. Go look up recent broadcasts and you can see Hat's very long theory crafting stream, of which a few hours.
6 hours.
Yeah, a few of those hours were all three of us.
Yeah, the first couple. And then Joss had to go for 2 hours, and then I blinked and she was back. I'm like, what happened? Then we blinked again and it was over. It was the fastest 6 hours that I've experienced in a while. And, you know, super fortunate we got to do that. And I'm glad that you both could make it out there and played 22 decks in 6 hours. It was rad as hell.
So what you're saying is the meta isn't slow, because that seems unrealistic otherwise.
I mean, I play pretty quickly and also tend to avoid grindy do nothing attrition strategies. I did lose to Edelweiss, my co-host on a different podcast over in Coin Concede. She did fatigue me with Control Warrior in one game. That did happen. I did run out of stuff, and then she gained more armor, and then I just couldn't kill her. That happened. It hit fatigue a couple times, not through mass draw, but through being run out of stuff. But there were also some games that were over turn 5, turn 6, and there were also some really gross Naga Mage turns. And there were a lot of robots, and that was fun. Robots are fun. How do you all feel about robots?
If y'all are here, because so you got the theory craft for 6 hours. I was there for like an hour and a half of it. And if anyone was sitting, and I'm sure you were, because you all know I am the diehard cutting edge standard Hearthstone player. But if you were showing up here thinking, boy, I really want Garrett's definitive take on what the meta will be, all I have to offer is mechs seem good.
Well, and this is what I like about the theory crafting streams, that the way that they've done them lately is that they do have that deck building condition. So all of the theory crafted decks did require 10 new cards to be added to them. So it's not necessarily a snapshot of what the meta is going to look like tomorrow. It's more of like a showcase of like, here's some potentially cool synergies. Maybe there's other ways to build the deck that don't have to fit that condition, right? So I think that there's a lot of really cool stuff going on. I think, like you said, the mech package seems really powerful, particularly in Mage and Paladin, who each have their own unique mech that kind of makes them work just the same, only different, which I found is really fun. Like, I didn't feel like we were playing the same deck, even though there were a lot of similar mechs in the Mage and Paladin lists. And like you said, the Naga Mage was also really cool. And I'm glad that there was like a way that deck worked. And there were some pretty crazy big swing turns.
I was just, I know quests aren't going anywhere. We have another year with quests, but like in a world where I follow Brian Kibler, it's still very fresh in my mind, the kind of quest fatigue. So by like going in with that in mind and getting to co-pilot Mech Mage and Mech Paladin, you know, pre-releases for all intents and purposes decks, it was really cool to see just how damn different the Colossal Minions feel. Because the Colossal Minions for both Mech, for both Mage and for Paladin are also mechs. So it fits into these archetypes that we were testing out. And it reminded me of like, oh yeah, class legendaries can be great when you're like not guaranteed to start the game with them. Like not only these two like mech, these legendary mechs and these two like brand new things that, you know, I'm pretty sure Mage is going to be an archetype. It really feels like it. And Paladin just feels like it could be. If I had to bet money, I would bet money on Mech Mage is going to be a competitively viable archetype. Nonetheless, anyways, my point more being that like these are two new mech archetypes. They have these legendaries in them that are also mechs. They feel key to the archetypes themselves, but it's just, again, it's that back of, oh yeah, there's still variants. Like if you even find the damn card as well as what they do, like they feel so different, helped, yeah, I think, differentiate these two mech archetypes that we got to mess around with.
think out of all 22 games, I played against Quest once and I crushed them. I'm certain we're going to see more Quest Warrior, Quest Hunter in particular on day one, because those decks, you can do up to 10 new cards, maybe if you work real hard at it, but they're going to be better without doing that. Quest Warrior in particular, I think we're going to hear about in a couple weeks, just because its post-rotation in the deck got, like, more efficient by losing cards. It's a lot of two-mana pirates, which is not necessarily something that we were hoping for, unless you're a big pirate Quest Warrior fan, in which case you were hoping for it, and that deck is great right now, and I expect it's going to be really, really strong.
My name's Garrett.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Garrett. You're to do that tomorrow. It's good.
Cool. Thanks.
But also, we saw a bunch of other stuff that was cool. There was a ton of variety. Josh, there was that one game we played where we were Curse Warlock, and suddenly our opponent died out of nowhere. They were at 26, and then two turns later, they were just instantly dead. That was cool and unexpected. I didn't expect
it. Wait, Curse Warlock. Okay, what was the card that was... Because I wasn't here for this one. What was the card that was the crux of that?
It was all the Abyssal Curses, but the card that was the crux of it was Bran Bronzebeard. That was the crux of it, which is... Yeah. Because there are a bunch of minions that give our opponents quests. So, like, they were at 26, and so we did... we had a cool turn where we gave them... they had a curse, we gave them another couple. And then... It was Bran, Cultist, Zola, so give them two more curses, and then Zola to copy two Zekuuls. So
It was pretty gross.
Yeah.
That sounds dirty.
So they were at 26, then on their turn they took 3, 4, 5, which is 12. They went to 14. They gained 5 life by playing Hero Curtis, but then traded into one of our two attack minions, so they were at 17. They paid 2 mana and discarded the 5 curse, so they still had the 4 curse. And we had just Zola'd our Zekuul, so we gave them 2 more curses, which were 6 damage, 7 damage. So they took 4, 6, 7 their turn, which is 17, then they instantly just died. And it was just completely out of nowhere, 31 damage from curses over 2 turns. Completely out of nowhere.
Yep, and I think that kind of highlights one of the things that we realized over the course of the stream is that this new expansion has a lot of things to track and remember. Because, like, we were trying to remember, like, how much damage each curse in hand was going to do, and then we would be dredging cards, and then
Dredge,
like, trying to...
Dredge is big brain. Dredge is huge. Yeah. Every time we dredge, we were like, we would finish the dredge and be like, oh, we messed up. Every single time. Because the beginning of the stream, the first hour, I told this to both of you, I kept dredging multiple times in a game, and I would see the same two cards that I saw before, and I'm like, man, we're so unlucky. We keep seeing those cards. They're on the bottom of the deck. They don't move. They stay right there. It's not luck. But so just, like, not shuffling the deck and then dredging.
We're so used to, like, random and shuffle and discover and stuff. We're not used to this, like, consistent mechanic. So, I mean, we kind of knew how it was going to work and knew how complicated it would potentially be. But I think seeing it in action and then deciding that maybe, like, right at the beginning might not be the best time to dredge, and, like, depending on what you're trying to do with your deck and your dredges, like, there's a lot more strategic timing with your dredges than I think I originally thought. So it seemed like there's a lot of things to think about in this expansion, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, and different things too. And the other thing that I was constantly thinking about all day is that before we got to play, we said, wow, this set has the best art we've seen in a while. And after having played that, but more somehow, because it's the best art, visual effects, sound, whatever, the polish, the fit and finish here on these cards is the best they have ever done. It is not close. Shoutouts to Sir Spinley, the diamond card. He spins. He goes all the way around. I found it a fun fact. While he is frozen, the game mechanic freeze, he does not spin until he unfreezes.
Really?
What the hell, Hearthstone team? That is too rad for me to function.
That is really cool.
There's always, like, with a lot of games, there's always a sense of, like, when you, this day and age, or like us, and I feel like you've always been this way, where you're just, like, watching trailers and any type of conference where there's a freaking presentation. I'm trying not to say E3 or BlizzCon because like neither exist anymore. but this just idea of like constantly being informed about what you're about to play before you actually go and play it, right? And there's just this experience that I still get surprised by every time where I actually sit down to play the freaking game myself. And there's that sense of, wow, you know, in application on my own monitor or my own TV or whatever device you happen to be playing this on, where it's just like, this looks better than I thought, even though I've already inundated myself with what this looks like from other media. It's different when you're doing it yourself, when you're seeing it and you're controlling the game yourself, kind of idea of like seeing it in motion. I've been having this experience a lot recently with like Final Fantasy because I'm like, oh, it's not as ugly as I thought it did. I think it just screenshots horribly. But when it's like in motion and you're playing it, it looks really good. I feel the same way about these colossal minions. They're like, oh yeah, the art, it spreads across. I'm like, okay, yeah, but I've seen full land art and magic. And I've literally been asking for it since 2013 when I played the Hearthstone beta. Thanks for catching up, Hearthstone. Never mind, that's beautiful. It looks amazing. It looks so much better than, I don't know. I think it's just this sense of like, I'm just constantly underestimating and getting lost in my own jadedness where I've covered games for too long so that you sit down, you just kind of relax and you just take the new stuff in Hearthstone in at face value, like on its own merit. You're just like, damn, those colossal minions really do look visually impressive in game.
Yeah, I was really surprised with how well it was laid out because like you can look at the whole big landscape picture because we've seen full art of the colossal minions, and then you can see them as their like their little tokens or whatever when you hover over the card gallery on the website, but it doesn't really show you how it actually looks because it is perfectly spaced as if the full art's behind it, and then there's like cookie cutters out of it. Like it looks really, really, really good. I was really impressed. And the colossal minions in general, I think most of the time, and again, theory crafting may not necessarily reflect what the meta is like, but it did seem like our colossal minions were powerful enough to warrant an expensive deck slot. And we also seemed to get to them and play them pretty often. Like if we drew them, if we got them in our hand, we could play them. And so they're like their power level never felt like we were like skipping a turn. It always felt like we were doing something big and powerful and
colossal, one might even say.
Yeah, colossal even.
I would say that
they felt really, really fun and like we might actually get to play with them, which is always a problem with expand, with the exception, I think, of quests and quest lines, is that usually when we get these legendary things and they're super expensive and super big, it's like, oh, but we can never play them. We never get there. We get face hunted. But these, it feels like we might actually get there. And they were a lot of fun to play. I think obviously we've talked about the Mage and Paladin ones already, but the Shaman one, oh, man, that was impressive. Glug was crazy.
We discovered it in our Bloodlust Shaman deck. We were completely out of cards. And then we randomly discovered it. I don't even remember. I think we amalgamed a Piranha Swarmer because we might get Glug, and then we Glugged it. And yes. We got Glug, Glucky, Gluggy. You get where I'm going with that. Lucky and Glug, it doesn't roll off the tongue all that well. And then we played him, and then we instantly won the game. And it was also super cool. I love the animation, and I'm going to ask you both favorite colossal to play with and favorite animation, so prepare yourselves for that. But this was the one I had the most fun playing, and that is a high compliment because they were all super fun. But this just, in a Bloodlust deck, you just poop it onto the board, and then even if they kill the 2/2s, you have this giant 9 attack minion, and if they don't, then you just Bloodlust them and kill them. And it was difficult for a Demon Hunter opponent to deal with, and then we hit them in the face. But all the animations were awesome, and yeah, the only one, like, we played Z-Lag once, the Demon Hunter one, and it was okay. I think that one's going to be easier for our opponents to deal with. We didn't see the priest one, didn't see the warrior one, but all of the 8 other ones we saw, we've either played with or against at least once, and a bunch of them multiple times.
I feel like Z-Lag got played against us and was really effective.
It was okay. I looked back at the VOD. It was fine.
Oh, did you? Oh, okay.
Yeah, it did a couple points of damage. But it's, if you kill the head, the stocks are only okay. And if you kill the stocks, the head is a 3/6. So that one felt like it was the easiest to work around unless you were super far behind and they were already way ahead. Like, it wasn't terrible, but I wanted it to be better than it was, both when we played with it and against it. But it was still, like, it was still cool as hell. I still liked it. I still want it to be good.
Oh, man. Now I feel like there was one, and I'm forgetting which one it was, because I feel like it was a big underwater animation, and I'm like,
Garrett knows what it is.
I think a lot of them are.
Garrett knows the one I'm talking about. The Leviathan.
Oh, that's right.
When you play, it's like this... It's like this 40,000 Leagues Under the Sea thing, and the whole screen goes, like, underwater, and then this mech just rolls up, and it's oh, man.
Okay, I thought it was the Paladin one, but then I was like, we've already talked about, like, Mage and Paladin, so I thought you were trying to hint me into some other way, too. But, okay, yeah, it was the one I was thinking of.
My brain went back to is it Gaia? Is that how you pronounce the Mage one?
The Mage one, yeah, Gaia. Yes.
The way that the rockets that fire, that do the one damage to all enemies, do like that. Like you snap the stick off a bottle rocket and it's doing the circles and you're like, dear God, someone's going to die. Someone messed up with this bottle rocket. I love that animation when those one damage missiles go out. It's really fun. This might be too hyper specific of a memory from my pyro adjacent youth. But yeah. Yeah. No, the Leviathan animation was really great too. I'm going to be honest. Kind of forgot. Kind of recessed in the back of my brain, and it's this Paladin, and it's this big gold ship. I didn't really think of like underwater when you said Leviathan. I'm like, did Leviathan have that animation? I don't remember seeing that animation, but I don't remember it being part of Leviathan. Also, what, we play like one Paladin game while I was there?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I remember Bubblebot being insane. That card was so good.
Nutty.
That's the 4-mana 4/4 that gives all of our other mechs Divine Shield and Taunt. This is the reason to play Mech Paladin. This and Radar Detector. Because we covered this already. The Mech Mage and Mech Paladin feel so different because Mage is so shooty and Paladin is so bubbly. And like shooty and bubbly are opposites. They're just not the same thing.
Yeah, and I think that every time we played Bubblebot, I feel like we hit at least 3 mechs. Like, it was super worth. And then even if they're teeny tiny little things, they're like Annoyatrons. Like, they're just a pain. They're in the way. And everything, giving everything Divine Shield was just, man, oh, so good. Bubblebot always felt good to play.
Yeah, yep. To me, it, I didn't get my Shield Mini Bot back, but I kind of feel like I did. Like, it's like, oh yeah, mechs.
You got shielded mini bots.
Yeah, did you say shielded many bots?
Many bots, yeah.
I'm just going to scroll
updating.
Up here.
Nope, got it. I beat it already. Oh,
you're already there. You're already there. You're already there.
Also, so, okay, the thing that won games a lot was Security Automaton, which was the 2-mana 1/3 that every time you summon a mech, not play, summon a mech, then it gets +1/+1. And then there was one game where we any storm coiled it, where we made a copy with Divine Shield and Rush and Wind Fury. And then we had a 4/6 and then also a 5/7 Rush, Wind Fury, Divine Shield. And they kept both getting bigger. And then our opponent's stuff died and then our opponent died. And it was pretty cool.
Yep. It was, it was really fun. Like, I think the two kind of takeaways from this, well, I guess three, was the Mage Naga deck. And then mechs in general, and then colossal minions for me.
Yeah, we should probably talk about that.
As things I felt we played that really felt good. The Naga one, yeah, I don't think we've talked about Naga. I feel like we've talked about Mage a lot because of mechs, but we haven't talked about the Naga deck. That had a pretty crazy, it was like, I think I came in on you playing it maybe twice. Like, I feel like you played it before I left, and then when I came back, and it was like, just wait till turn 5. Just hang on, Joss. Yes. Wait till turn 5.
It was so.
Had some pretty crazy stuff on turn 5s.
The first game I played of the entire Theorycraft, you came in at the end of turn 5, and I had just played 7 minions and 6 spells, and you were like, "Hi." And I was like,
"That
what's
seems
up,
like
Joss?
Too many."
Then I killed my opponent on 6, and then we played a game of Mech Mage. So it's the Spitelash Siren, the 2/5 that. When you play a Naga, it refreshes 2, then switches to spell. Then you play a spell, switches to Naga, and it flips and flops and flips and flops. That's a thing. That's going to be a thing. We're going to see it. We're going to hear about it. It's going to be on Reddit. It's going to be on Twitter. I don't know if it's broken, but I know that it's good. And you can make a board. It's not a giant board. It's a bunch of minions that all have 5 health or less. So someone's going to clear that board, and then you're going to be out of stuff. But also, that wasn't what happened in theory crafting. And if you build that to take incremental advantage that turn, you don't kill that turn. But you make your opponent feel dead that turn, which is almost as good, and you can build up a lot of resources for later in the game. That was one of the two decks that really felt like a full, complete deck that we played with or against on the stream. The other one being Pirate Rogue, which felt really strong, and there was a run of like an hour there in the middle where we ran into like four of them out of five games, and we kept getting swordfished.
But then we played it. We did play a match of it, and we didn't get nearly as, I don't know, lucky, or like it definitely seemed like we drew a little bit dead, and the stuff that we got off of random effects and stuff wasn't nearly as good as what we had seen on our opponents, because the reason we decided to play it was that after like losing to it like three times, it felt ridiculous. It felt overpowered. Yeah. And we were just like, okay, we need to play this. Like, we need to see this match from the other side, because I feel like this is broken and like day one nerf material. So let's see what's going on.
Did you hit similar matchups? Did you run into like mech mages or mech paladins while you were piloting?
We only played
the pirate
one
room?
Game with it, and I think it was against a Naga mage. We didn't get the best draw. It was a little awkward. The dredges were kind of strange. But, you know, in terms of demonstrating the fail case, there was absolutely a fail case with this deck. Mm-hmm. But when we played against it, the card that really stood out to me was Swordfish, which is it's a 3-mana 2/3 weapon, Battlecry Dredge. If it's a pirate, give both the weapon and the pirate +2 attack.
Yeah, so I think when we played Swordfish, we didn't hit a pirate. And that made a huge difference.
Yeah, we hit one pirate and three of the dredge. It was a 5-mana pirate that we didn't want to take, but it was the only pirate. So
right,
we
right,
had
right.
To pick
I was like,
it.
I know there was some dredgy nonsense.
Yeah. Because the thing about dredge is there's this tension of, do I take the card that I want or do I take the card that activates the payoff? And we took the card that activated the payoff and it didn't work out. We didn't win the game, but our hand was also double swordfish on turn three, which you don't really want because it has three durability. But the three durability here is where I think I have issue with this card, because when it hits, it's a 3-mana 4/3 weapon that also buffs a pirate, and if it hits Cutlass Courier, which is the 2/5, when you attack, you draw a pirate. If you coin this and hit Courier, you have 3-mana for 12 damage, combined with a 4/5 draw card that happens every turn. That felt better than what every other deck that we were playing tried to do. Now, yeah. I don't know if it's immediate nerf territory, but I do know that the 3 in the corner of this card, the 3 health, 3 durability here, seems like it's misaligned with a lot of the rest of the set. It feels a little better.
I don't know. It seems like it's pretty aligned with the other 3 in the other corner if we're looking at diagonal alignment.
Well, I think the problem here is that it almost, or like it's within the player's control for this to be a 4/3 every time, right? Pretty much.
For the most part, right? Because like, as a reminder, dredge still technically not playable in game at the time of recording this. You get to choose.
Yes, you get to choose. Exactly. It doesn't just take the card from the bottom of your deck. You look at three cards. So even if the pirate is terrible, then, you know, you can still pick it and get that buff on that weapon. So
there is still a chance that it's not a pirate, right? But like, you're going to stack the deck in your favor if you're playing Swordfish. I don't think anyone's going to go, oh no, I tripped and fell and included Swordfish in my non-pirate rogue.
Yeah, no, I think how many pirates did we end up having? Like 15 or 16 or something?
Oh, and the deck is a
total cards.
Total?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So basically, like 2/3 of our deck was pirate minions, and then there were a bunch of supporting cards. So, I mean, it's a pretty high chance that one of the three cards on the bottom of your deck is going to be a pirate, which then makes that weapon a 3-mana 4/3 weapon, which even if it didn't put the pirate on top of your deck, you know, it's still a 3-mana 4/3 weapon, like... That's too many. many too early.
It's 12 damage.
The total for this expansion, there's 4 new pirates just in Rogue, and only one of them's a legendary, so the other 3 can be duplicated if you want to throw them in your deck, and I think you do want to throw these pirates in your deck.
And one of the matches that we played, we had played Kazakhstan, and we had replaced our deck with treasures, and they promptly who's the rogue legendary?
So I keep forgetting. We were playing against Cantaloupe, and Cantaloupe hooktussed us and plundered our booty and took 5 treasures
took
from
5
our deck.
5 of our 10 treasures.
Yep. And
why are you keeping treasures in your booty, man?
So It was that was an
man,
awesome
Hucktown's
game.
Just coming in like the TSA, man. Mm-hmm. Just
yes. Ugh. Yeah.
Yeah, Hook Tusk. Yeah, so if that's if you've played 8 Pirates, am I remembering
yes.
that right?
If you've played 8 Pirates, then you either get to yoink their highest attack minion or 2 cards from their hand or 5 cards from their deck into your hand. And it was very good when the five of the 10 cards in our deck were, well, all 10 cards were Duel's Treasures. And then they said, let me have some too. And then they didn't kill us with them, but they used them to great effect.
Yes.
So
yeah, it was very sad. But yeah, so Hook Tusk seemed powerful. Unlike Ashara. Ashara, I was sad about. She was stuck in our hand a lot.
She was in a lot of decks that we played, and she was mm-hmm. the worst card in every single one of them. I could see her in the Naga Dark Lair Mage, because we did face that as well, where the Xalatath, you called it Naifu, which I believe is a,
Naifu,
is a WoW reference.
Yeah,
yep.
It is. Because it's, in WoW,
it's a
you
knife
get her.
Life.
Yeah, you uh-huh. get her in Legion as a Shadow Priest, and she talks to you.
Oh, she's the artifact weapon.
Of
okay.
the universe. Yeah, the artifact yeah. weapon. Yeah.
There's some very chatty weapons in that expansion.
And
none
here's
is
the thing.
Better than knife.
They're chatty, and you also kind of want to make a body pillow out of all of them.
do
I don't know. I think Xalatath would be kind of pointy.
Do you have an Alaneth body pillow?
I don't have to admit to anything.
The Fifth Amendment protects you. Anyways, Xalatath in this particular case was 0 mana, deal 10, which was also pretty good. So we took the 10 and then also got fireballed, so. Yeah.
Mm. Shame it wasn't Pyroblast, so it couldn't tie into the core set changes, but.
But otherwise, in every deck that she was in, she either had a treasure that didn't impact the board and we died, or we top decked her and couldn't activate her and she was useless, or when we played against her, our opponent played her and then promptly died.
Mm-hmm.
So, it, you know, cool lore card, but definitely more difficult to activate than we had expected, and the payoff wasn't really there in our experience. So it was just interesting to see.
Which I think is kind of fine when we're talking about neutral legendaries, right? Like, yeah. you want them to be... to be good and fun, but maybe, you know, we didn't need another expansion with something akin to Kazakhstan.
Or, I think she was being, I had lauded her as a Lich King, where you just kind of, like, throw her in decks, and she's definitely not that good.
Well, no, because Lich King, you can just play, right? And then he gives you something when he dies. Like, you can't just play her. You have to wait and cast spells while she's in your hand, so.
Yeah, Lich King was on the level of Ragnaros or Sylvanas. Like it's just this just a powerful card that asks nothing of you.
Yeah.
Which now I'm reminded that Ragnaros Lightlord is coming back.
Ooh, gonna be fun.
Ragnaros Lightlord asks nothing of me other than that I'm okay with being yelled at every once in a while. That's all I need to make peace with there.
And I'm really curious how a lot of these older cards in core perform. There was one game where we played Reno and we immediately died the following turn. And Reno was printed.
Because we don't have ice block this time.
Yeah. We're gonna be dead.
Do you both remember when Reno was printed?
2015.
Like the year 2015, wasn't
it? December 2015. Hearthstone is 7 years
old. I was on my honeymoon when Reno hit the game.
Oh boy. So you got rich?
No, honeymoons are expensive. I got the opposite of rich. I got debt.
That's unfortunate.
But I also got,
you married,
you know,
Katie. She's priceless.
Yeah,
no complaints.
And for everything else, there's MasterCard. It's fine.
That was the first time I didn't play new Hearthstone content like the day of launch because I was sitting on a beach in Maui and it was wonderful.
I think that's a pretty reasonable decision. Anyways.
I'm pretty sure that's the day a sea turtle literally bumped into my butt while I was out in the ocean swimming. And I was like, oh my God, it's a freaking sea turtle. Maui is a magical place. You should go if you can. And also, you're thinking, Garrett, non sequitur. Like, no, Sunken City, yo. I'm talking about water things.
It matches.
It does. You know what else is in Maui? Lots of crabs. We listened to Crab Rave today. It's all related.
It's a circle. A circle.
Yep.
And they have a new tagline now. Maui, sea turtles will bump into your butt.
There you go.
You don't even have to pay extra.
You can invoice at No Moon Art.
Now it's createwithgarrett.com, but thank you. I appreciate the attempt.
Sorry. I knew Garrett back when there was when there was no moon.
Listen, Maui, if you're looking for a new head of marketing, I will move. Just like, happily move. So TLDR, theory crafting was fun, and the new set seems amazing. This seems like this is going to be a particularly strong and memorable standard rotation.
This is giving me so many Un'Goro vibes.
Yeah, yep. I share that thought. I am so over the moon about Dredge. They could have just been like, and Dredge is being added. We decided to take an expansion off. No new cards. We're going to put Dredge on a few things where it makes sense. And I think I would have already been over the freaking moon excited. But we're also getting this set, and we're also getting this, like, there's a lot of things leaving that I'm excited about, like, not from like a hyper negative thing. It's just like, as always, it feels done. I feel done with it. And I'm really excited about some of the greatest hits coming back into the core set. It's just looking wonderful.
After theory crafting ended that day, I think I counted 5 times where I launched the Hearthstone client to play some Voyage Standard, and then I saw it was regular standard, and I closed the client. And then I did it again, and I just kept going, and like, oh, wait, I can't do the thing that I want to do.
Yeah, I had a similar experience over the weekend. I tried to play, and I was like, but I know something so much better is coming in like 3 days. Close. I tried so hard.
We're almost there.
Got so far, but in the end, it didn't even matter.
I was going to say that, and then I'm like, nah. Garrett got me.
You know, it does matter, Garrett.
Saving money while you shop?
It does.
Thanks to today's episode. Today's sponsor. Today's episode is sponsored by Honey. I don't know. How are we feeling? How are we feeling about online shopping? Is it something we sometimes do? This is a terrible lead-in. I do it almost every day. I was going to say literally again. I was going to do another pullback. I don't literally shop every day, but I do it a lot.
I'm pretty sure. Well, I'll put it this way. Anytime I'm shopping for anything, I at least start online.
Absolutely. You know, sometimes you're like, you need it right then and there. Or sometimes it's like the holy grail, right? Where it's like, oh, I can buy it online. It's available locally. And Honey just found me a coupon. And if you never heard one of our Honey reads before, you might be wondering like, wait, huh? How does this work? Well, if you haven't heard of Honey, it is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. And it just does this all. You don't need to think about it. Like literally, imagine, dear listener, sound of my voice. I'm going to get real close so it sounds sultry. And you're like, yeah, I want to listen to the sound of your voice. Just close your eyes and imagine you're shopping on one of your favorite sites. I'm sure this is so hard to imagine. You go to check out the Honey button. It just comes down and it's like, hey, we found some coupons. Would you like to save some money you were going to spend anyway? Hat is nodding, which doesn't work in an audio bit. So I'm going to tell you that ridiculous hat is nodding right now.
That means yes.
And then it runs. It's like, I'm trying this. I'm trying that. A little bit later, boom, finds a working coupon. And you just watch that price. It just drops. You saved some money. For me, this happens a lot with pizza. Just saved $2 on pizza while Katie was gone a week ago. Don't eat healthy while she's gone. I ordered pizza. It saved me $2. It did it automatically. You know what I did with that $2? Hey, I got it. I got another topping. That's what I did. I was like, hey, I can justify bacon tonight. Let's do it. And everybody wants to justify bacon. So if you want to justify bacon like I justify bacon, go install Honey. It's free. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. And by getting it, not only will you be doing yourself a solid, you'll be supporting us here on The Angry Chicken. We wouldn't recommend something we don't use. I've had Honey installed for years now. And I can say literally. So get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/TAC. That is joinhoney.com/TAC. We thank them for their support. And we thank you for supporting the brands that support us here on The Angry Chicken. Now, you may have thought to yourself, this show is coming out on release day. How much could they possibly have to talk about? Well, we already talked an hour about getting our streamer privilege on and getting to play with the new cards. Well, we got a hot fix. We got a hot fix patch that deployed this past Friday. And it was a server-side hotfix, so you may have noticed, especially Battlegrounds players, you may have noticed a little bit of a head-scratching behavior. But this was all documented on the official forums in wonderful, beautiful, my favorite, bulletless detail. Joss, how much do I like bulletless?
Well, I mean, other than our show notes that are usually bulleted, I would say zero.
Well, this is the thing you don't know. I actually have a bulletless tattoo.
You do not.
Is this real? Am I being
you don't know?
Is this a real thing?
I've seen a lot of you, Garrett. I've seen a lot of you. Not all, but a lot.
Now I'm trying to think about it. I'm like, how much of me has Joss seen?
Well, I've seen you in a bathing suit swimming in a pool. Like,
oh, that's fair. Okay. All right.
I would have led with fair. That. Next time I would lead with that.
I would have led with that too, because then I was confused. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. How much did I drink at the last BlizzCon?
I'm going back to the pre-show and fearing for Garrett's life.
I'm like, Katie was here for this. I don't know what she's referencing. Yeah. Anyways.
Swimming, people. Get your minds out of the gutter. Jesus.
Yeah.
All right. For once, I'm actually going to defend them and say, this is the angry chicken. Our mind is always in the gutter. We have kind of trained the audience to think we've trained the audience to think like any storm coil line deliveries.
We're just a bunch of friends talking. We're listening to a bunch of chums. They're just talking.
Listen, the cogs got to work together. Is all I'm trying to say.
You gotta get a lot of cogs
in the same room to mesh.
I listened to that like 10 times in a row and could not hear cogs.
I put that shit on speaker. I was in the kitchen helping with dinner when friend of the show Slissa brought something to the attention of Twitter. And I was just like, wait a minute. I'm just like, Katie, give this a listen. Just turn up the phone all the way, hit play. This is subtweet in conversation, by the way, because we're not explaining the entire thing. But Katie just goes, it's supposed to be cogs, right? Like, I sure hope so. And she just like looks me dead in the eye while like slicing an onion, which I thought was baller because of, you know, should have been worried, but she knew what she was doing. And goes, that's not what it sounds like. And I just started laughing.
I was very recently a technician. I heard cogs.
I did not.
That's just one of those words that in the age of the internet and people that are perpetually 13 years old, you really need to overpronounce.
So anyways, the fix was hot. There's a hot fix.
It was a hot cog.
And it included some changes, including to future standard. And this was all server side, so it was weird. And there was no notification in the client of really any of it.
No, I was like, wait, why do I have a diamond Lotheb? I was like, did I just get a Nax Ravis achievement? I'm like, I've had these cards since the dawn of time.
So fun fact, you were supposed to have that experience slightly sooner because the bug was that owning all the Nax cards didn't give you diamond Lotheb if you'd already claimed the achievement when it was supposed to roll with patch 23.0, which was last Tuesday. Instead, when they did the hot fix, that they anyone that had previously claimed the achievement then got their Diamond Lotheb. It popped up in the middle of nowhere. You're like, what am I doing? Why do I have a Diamond Lotheb? Where am I? But it was, it's a very pretty card, but then some people had the achievement, but didn't have the card. And other people, like, they had dusted one card, then they recrafted and immediately had it. So people wondered, do I have to dust a card from Curse of Naxxramas and then recraft to get this back? No, it was just a bug. So they fixed the bug. They also changed some other stuff. And I understand that server-side changes in a very small window between patch going live and expansion going live, you can't necessarily communicate. There's no localization. It just has to be numbers changing magically and invisibly. But there were some numbers that changed magically and invisibly while people were playing Hearthstone, in particular Hearthstone Battlegrounds. So,
yeah.
One of those people was our anchor, Garrett Weinzerl. Garrett, tell us about your Any Storm Coil game in Battlegrounds.
Yeah, well, I got a game with Indie Stormcoil, and there were some changes. So if you're a Battlegrounds player and you weren't aware of this hotfix patch for some reason, there's a couple things that happened. The big one being that Subscrubber, which is Innie's buddy, has been moved from Tavern Tier 2 to Tavern Tier 4. But because the 23.0.1 hotfix patch was server-side, that was not visually represented. So you got your sub scrubber in hand, you went, yay, and you look at it, and it's got the two stars. And if you're me, you go, why the frick did it take so long to get you? which sent me on a bit of a journey. Like, what, why? I was kind of annoyed. I was like, is something going on? Like, it started to make me question all of these things. I started having a bit of like a panic. I started questioning my own knowledge of Hearthstone Battlegrounds. So I'm like, is this like a confirmation bias? Is this just anecdotal to me? Were my last like seven lobbies, did everyone I go up against just have like a million divine shields and I just charge my buddy faster than usual? But wait, that doesn't even make sense because they lock you out if you get too much charge in a single turn anyway. And I'm just sitting there and I'm having a bit of a sweat and a panic. And I'm just like, what's going on? And then I finally found out about this hotfix patch today. As a matter of fact, I actually didn't know that this came out over the weekend. I try to stay off Twitter on the weekend. I really try. I'm getting better about it. Apparently was quite good about it this weekend. Cause didn't learn about this hotfix until this morning. Listen, I'm just going to get on my high horse and say this kind of thing I'd like to see represented in the game somehow. I don't know how. I know it's hard. It's not my job. It's very important. I feel strongly about this.
It's not my job. Whoever's job it is, figure it out.
Yeah.
It would be nice for the game to tell you how the game works, and when the game gives you inaccurate information because they fixed something, I'm glad they fixed it. Innie was busted as hell.
Yeah, she was really, really good.
By the way, thank you for not asking me how my game went because it's detrimental to my argument that I just made.
Did you win? You won, right?
I got first place, and I even made a tweet that said, getting one in before the inevitable horrible nerf. The nerf actually already came! The nerf yes. already came, and I got first place!
Also, by the way, in the notes, it says this is teeing you up for a Joss was right moment. What was she right about?
Oh, Innie.
Oh, yeah. Innie was good. Yeah, I told him, and he took Mukla instead, and I was like, what? But she's so good!
Yeah, was it last week or the week before? I think it was 2 weeks ago.
It might have been 2 weeks ago. It was whenever she came into the game.
Yeah,
when
yeah,
she came into the game like, initially. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Was that it? Was that it?
Initially.
Anyways, the point is, Joss was right.
I gotta say, I think Innie is like it's more egregious than Life Drinker. Like, how good Innie was at launch to how little attention I paid to you saying Innie was gonna be good. I think this is an upset of Life Drinker.
Really?
Her average placement was 2.
Yeah. That is insane for sure.
She was a full spot over the next closest. Like, the entire tier 1 was just Innie. At top 20% was 2.97, just under third place. On average third place. That meant, like, if you had a mediocre game with Innie, it was third. And the next closest was Flurgle, who averaged 3.9, just around fourth place. The difference between those two was a full place with Innie and unbelievable stats. Crazy.
We have seen before, having a whole place between the top hero and the rest of the pack. But it's never been that high. It's never been 2 point something. And even though it was 2.97, which is effectively third, it's still like we've never had anybody like break that threshold. Like, that's crazy. So, she was super, super powerful and she did need to be changed. But I mean, to respect to your point, Garrett, about putting it in the client, I mean, couldn't we just have had a couple more broken Innie days? Like the Lobby Legends qualifiers and stuff, they're done on a monthly basis, right? So even if we had another couple of days, it's not like there's an end of like ladder cutoff date happening in that period. Like, couldn't we just have put it in with like the next patch, like Tuesday or whatever?
I think that would have probably been 2 weeks because their patch windows and localization windows are 9 to 10 day stretches up to 14 sometimes. I think we don't know the reason why they moved the Masters Tour, but they moved the Masters Tour a week later. The current projected rough next patch date is the 21st, 9 days after tomorrow when the expansion launches, because it's a week before the Masters Tour, and that was the window that they said they would shoot for after Barons, after Deck of Lunacy happened. We had two full weekends with Deck of Lunacy at two mana, which wasn't really great for anybody. So the expectation for the next in-client patch with a localization window is the 21st, which would mean any at a full place better than the next closest thing would be in the game 2.5 weeks, which would be the same as leaving day one Demon Hunter in the game for 2.5 weeks, and I don't think they can do that. So patching was probably the right call, but there were a lot of BGs players, a lot of high-level BGs players that said, I wouldn't know if I hadn't checked Twitter, or I didn't know because I didn't check Twitter. Twitter is not the mailbox. You should find a way to know in the game, but also it shouldn't just be for English-speaking players, and localization just can't move that fast in the however many languages. Hearthstone's in a lot of languages. It's impossible for them to do it. So they either have to choose, leave this hero at that broken in the game, or make it worse and find some way to tell people somehow, but just make the game run the way that we want it to, and then make it match visually later. I understand the decision, but neither decision is great. So it's just a question of which consequence you want to have.
Yeah, that was basically where my head was at, as well as I think they kind of weighed the pain point of, well, we know this is how far out in the future our next patch is going to be. Should we just rip it now? And I think they decided to rip it now.
So I have one other question as somebody who hasn't played since the hotfix. So another change that they made to BGs is Varden and Innie both had their tavern tier, or sorry, their armor tier changed. So they went from having 2 to 5 armor up to like tier 1, which is no armor. Was that visually represented? Or when in your hero select, do you still see like Varden 4?
I don't remember. Because I don't really look at armor.
I assume that they can't, yeah, but I don't know. Again, I don't know how all this stuff is figured out.
So the question is armor being visually represented accurately?
Yeah.
Yeah, armor is fully server-side. It's a question of which pool that ends up in, so you should see that correctly. That's something
that... Okay, we have Celestalon in chat right now confirming, yes.
Yeah, armor varies. Armor is okay.
Yeah, that is something that they added specifically to be able to do server-side balance changes without needing to tell you and having you see the right thing. That's like on purpose by design what that was for. Buddies were not visually tweakable that way because like the star in the corner is an asset shown by your game client, but the armor is varied based from game to game. So,
Right. Yeah. Very interesting.
I'm actually really stoked about this hotfix, and I was mostly putting on a show because I won the game with Innie, and I thought it was humorous to make a strong stance.
I saw the tweet you made, and I was like, does he know?
I didn't. Know. I legitimately did not.
No, he did not.
And nope. You won anyway. What a boss.
Also, you look at that board, like, listen, it's a good board. It's not that good of a board. I'm surprised I won with it. Innie good.
Yeah. And they nerfed a standard card, too.
Yeah, so did this change actually go into the game as of now, or is it going to be going into the game on Tuesday?
This stuff is all live right now. They are not making any more patches until
So the importer change is live now. Okay.
Yeah, so Pandaren importer is going from a 2-mana 1/3 to a 3-mana 2/4. Or went.
So went, yeah.
Yes.
Do you all know why this changed? There was a very funky
crazy combo. Broken.
Yeah. But mostly crazy. This is about as unintended as a thing gets. Pandaren Importer was a 2-mana 1/3 that says Battlecry, discover a spell that didn't start in your deck. And they determined when building a deck, there weren't enough spells in standard to have more than 3 options if you put every rogue spell in your class in the deck. So if you put in every single spell in Rogue except Shadow Step, you would always see Shadow Stepped. And that meant you would go on turn, I think it was, you had to use a Shadow Step already. You would go Importer and get the Shadow Step it, and then you go Bran, Fogsail Freebooter, the 2-mana 2/2 that deals 2 damage if you have a weapon, and Pandaren Importer, which would get you 2 Shadow Steps every single time. So you would use Bran, Freebooter, Free Importer, step the Freebooter, step the Importer, Do that until your opponent is dead, because every time you do that, they take 4 damage, and it's infinite. So that's only because there aren't enough spells in the pool, so they nerf this to a 3-mana 2/4, so you can't step it and pay it for free.
Yeah, you can't get it for free. You can still step it, but yeah, it doesn't make the infinite free combo.
Right. And when there are more rogue spells in the pool, they've already said they're going to revert it as soon as there are more rogue spells. Because this is about as unintended as a thing gets. It was seen effectively killing Regis Kilbin on turn 5 in the theorycrafting. The next day it was gone.
Yeah, this was not an intended combo.
Nope.
And happened pretty early, right? Because you... It was, what, a 7-mana combo?
5, because you would play the importer, which would get Shadow Step every time, and then step it, and it would be 0. And then you would brand.
Oh, right, the next turn you could brand, and
So on turn 4, you would importer and step, and then, or whatever. Any turn 2 to 4, you'd just make sure you dagger up, then turn 5, you would kill him.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fun.
It was horrible.
I like the quick justice. I'm a fan.
Yep.
I'm a fan.
But people found out about it from Reddit because, again, it was if you didn't see the known issues post or the hotfix notes, then you just would go to play it and it would cost a different number than it showed in the collection. The collection, it's still currently to this moment, shows 2-mana 1/3. And then in the game, it shows 3-mana 2/4. It looks like the day one DH nerfs. It's got a red number in the corner and then green.
Yeah, I was going to say has like red and green. Yeah, like something's impacted it. Yeah.
I love those, by the way. Like they're so rare, but they're so cool. It's just like
it's weird. It's weird as hell.
It's this game has to go out to a lot of very specific platforms. Goes with the territory.
That symbology is something everyone understands, right? Like, hey, there's a change. There's something funky going on. My numbers are red and green.
Yeah. I'm wondering, did they do something different for colorblind? If you have the colorblind options checked on, those would be literally the worst colors. Never thought
now
about
that you mention it.
I can't remember now. I remember talking about accessibility in Hearthstone. I feel like we had this conversation about a year ago.
I don't think we had it about server-side hotfixes.
No, it definitely wasn't about really server-side specific. Hotfixes. It was a listener email, but I can't remember if it was because they were implementing it or... because the listener was hoping that they would.
Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that, but it's so rare it comes up. Whatever the case is, it's like thinking back again, talking about having played this game since 2013, thinking about how far we've come. I'm like sitting on things that were like clearly busted for months on end, hoping to God we get a patch, like some kind of balance change. To now we can make server-side adjustments that are a little weird in how they play out in-game itself, but at least it's, like, rapid. Like, we're fixing things based on theory crafting. That is... God, Hearthstone has come such a long way.
Yeah, it's... Whatever downside there is in the constructed half of this discussion, the upside of not being dead on turn 5 tomorrow, super worth it! Whatever you got to do, I'll just not be dead on 5, and then people will talk about this crazy combat. I can be like, wow, that sounds crazy, but I'm not dead right now, so that's cool.
Unless like Ghostface is in your house or something, I mean, then you could be dead on turn 5, but that would not be Hearthstone's fault.
My wife is watching the Scream TV series, and it's just so spooky to be around. I just walk out and I'm like, this is spooky. I don't want to die.
Is it any good? I love the movies. I'm afraid to watch the show.
The new movie was really good. We just watched the new movie. Yeah.
Wasn't it? It was like legitimately good. Scream. Welcome to the Scream podcast, everybody. We're now a Scream podcast.
Yeah. I don't know anything about the TV show. You'll have to ask my wife, but she's been watching it, so.
Yeah. We've been to the theater maybe 4 times since COVID, and that's one of them.
Yeah. A bit more than you.
Slightly different.
Yeah, that's cheating.
Expectation or like reasoning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You paid to go. I got paid to go.
We done?
Yeah, you had a Twitter reply last night saying I haven't watched an MCU movie since Infinity War. And I wonder if that's a knock-on effect from your profession.
I think there's a good chance. Anyways. They also fixed a bunch of other stuff. Kurtris isn't broken anymore. You know that thing where, like, the season ended and it popped up and it was blank, and you're like, what happened? Well, it's not blank anymore. Also, you still got your stuff that time. Yeah. No. There's a bunch of other things down here. I don't think most of this stuff's going to come up. I said at the Diamond Lothab. But
the Dark Moon Prize for Ticketus out of Battlegrounds is kind of a big deal. The good stuff was really good.
What did that one do?
Temporarily remove the good stuff Dark Moon Prize from Ticketus's prize pool in order to avoid a bug. The prize is expected to return to Ticketus prize pool in a later patch.
I think it was the turn 12 prize pool, I think.
I'm looking it up right now because I do not remember.
Oh, that's the one that gives all minions in Bob's Tavern plus 2 health for the rest of the game.
Yes. That is it. Thank you, Hearthstone Wiki. Yeah, 0 gold. The good stuff. Yep. But
apparently the bug was on mobile. There was some issue there. So it wasn't removed for any kind of balance reasons, just like it made the game not playable, so they took it out until that stopped being a thing.
Mm. Well, before we go, around the table, first deck you cannot wait to try tomorrow. The first deck you're taking on ladder.
Mech Mage.
My answer may surprise you.
Are we just going to beat Mech Mage, Mech Paladin, and then Pirate Rogue?
don't typecast me.
Okay, so first off, so Joss, your answer is Mech Mage.
Mech Mage, yeah.
Okay, is it entirely because of Gaia or other reasons?
I think Gaia is really fun. I think the deck is going to be a pretty strong day one choice. It's pretty like tempo-y and also powerful, and so I think it's going to be probably the most straightforward thing to be trying. I don't think it'll get blown out if aggro decks are really popular, and I think it has some staying power to either kill control-y things or not care about control-y things. But I think that it's going to be a really fun deck that's probably going to win. So I like winning. Usually I spend a lot of time on day one trying to figure stuff out and do cool things that never work. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to play Mech Mage. I'm going to win.
Yeah.
Are you saying all you do is win?
With Mech Mage.
With Mech Mage.
And also all the other decks.
Could you now, just for a second, imagine a world, because you were very, very disappointed last week for two reasons that I think about it. One was no unicorn year.
Celestialon, we need to have a conversation.
Can you imagine a world where Mech Warper was brought back?
It would have been ridiculous.
Do you imagine your max costing one less as just an aura that exists until Mech Warper is dealt with?
I know why that didn't happen, but honestly, I'm still a little sad about it.
That would just be, you're an evil person if you wish for Mech Warper with what we've just witnessed.
I just want mechs everywhere. I want to feel like it's GVG again.
It's just going to be Mech Pally, which honestly wasn't really a thing during GVG. Reading.
We got the Mage Mech Palm Reading where you draw a mech and then your whole hand costs nothing and then you just spew out shark and missiles and just pew, 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 pew all day. And we don't need...
Oh, what if that was even cheaper?
No. We had United in Stormwind already. We've been there. We got the t-shirt. We don't need to do that again.
You are undoing all of the work, all of the calculated work we just did to plant seeds of a swordfish nerf. And you're here being like, let's just make all the mechs in Mech Mage cheaper.
To be fair, swordfish planted the seeds of a swordfish nerf because that card doesn't need any explanation.
Yeah, but we wouldn't be having this conversation if Mech Warper was available for Mech Mage. We'd be saying, do something about Mech Mage. It needs to be done. It'd be relative, is the argument I'm making. That'd be ridiculous.
You can nerf two cards. They can nerf two.
Hat, what are you... Is it Pirate Rogue? It's Pirate Rogue, isn't it?
It's not Pirate Rogue. Okay, Pirate Rogue is... Listen, I'm not going to tell you I'm not going to play Pirate Rogue in day one. I am. It's going to happen. I'm going to kill people in the face. And that's going to be... But you said first deck. No. This is going to be the deck that I queue into either at the end of the stream if I've had a good stream, or in the middle of the stream if I haven't had a good stream, and then I want to have a good stream. Then I'm going to play the aggro low curve Pirate Rogue, where you go Smite Filet and hit him for 10 on turn 7. You will Smite Filet. You know. But no, there are a lot of decks I want to try out. I want to try out Bloodlust Shaman with Anchored Totem, which is the new Hobgoblin. I want to glug him. I want to hit him with the glug. I did that one time by accident. I want to do it on purpose. But I think the first deck that I'm going to play is Priest. It's a Priest deck. But
what?
It's Combo Priest. It's Bless Priest. I'm just going to make a bunch of big butts, and I'm going to hit the opponent with the butt, and I'm going to draw a lot of cards. I want to draw cards and butt stomp in that order. So we're going to do that. I loved Ul'Doom Combo Priest. I really did. Because it had a bunch of cheap minions, drew a ton of cards, and then it killed the opponent fast. That's what I live for. That's what I do. I don't need to do Rogue for that. Rogue's always there for that. Let's try that with cards that look a different color. That's the same thing.
I really want Dragon Priest to become a thing again. I already think it's too slow after seeing Theory Crafting. But I'm going to make a declaration. Paladin will not be the first deck I play tomorrow. It'll be the second. I'm going to play Mechmage first. That deck was dope. It was fun. It was powerful. It was the most important factor on a day one of a new expansion. Visually interesting. Just pew, 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 just everywhere constantly. Gaia is amazing. If I don't crack Gaia, I am going to craft Gaia. Mechmage day one. That's just, if I don't get everything I need to play that deck, that's just dust that is no longer in my account.
And then Paladin, and then Pirate War.
Yeah, probably in that order. Yeah, I'll probably go do a Google search for Dragon Priest, see if anyone figured something out that isn't horribly slow.
Check out the Vicious Syndicate Theory Crafting list.
Oh,
yeah.
Where can people find that?
On vicioussyndicate.com. Yeah. There's a Kazakhstan priest with a bunch of dragons in it. I'm just saying, if you like step one dragon, step two Kazakhstan, which is also a dragon, it does that.
Okay. You don't have to push that hard.
I don't. But it's there. I see it. I'm looking at it right now. It's right over there.
It's I have high hopes. I've already had a lot of fun with this expansion, and I expect to have much more with it. So bring it on! Bring on tomorrow! Bring on the expansion! Everybody enjoy launch week. Light up our inbox. TACpodcast@gmail.com is the place to send those emails. Let us know what is working for you and what things did you run into that absolutely blew your freaking mind. I want stories. I want tales from the front line. Let us know how Sunken City and this new standard year lands for you. And we'll include them in future episodes as we get to the end of this one. But before we go, Jocelyn, I believe we have winners of a giveaway to announce.
We do. I'm going to be sending out the codes right after this episode, so you guys will have them in time for tomorrow's launch. Very big congratulations to Peter V and Chad S. Thank you so much for entering the giveaway, and hope you enjoy your standard bundle for Voyage to the Sunken City. Thank you very much to Blizzard for providing us those codes. And again, congratulations, Peter V and Chad S.
And if you're saying pick me in chat, I appreciate your gumption, but that's not how it works.
We would if we could.
I love Dazzler Dorn. Pick me! You announce the winners. Darn it! It's great. Good
timing. I don't
timing.
Think we picked
Good
him.
Comedic timing.
I don't think we did.
Oh, and also, we also didn't pick Celestalon, by the way. It's Chad with 1D.
Jonathan Vigil, we just told you that's not how it works.
Our chat is trolling us.
Daniel J. Newman saying Joss is the best host is also not how that works.
Also, or is it?
I mean, it's not wrong.
No, it's not. It's a totally random button I push.
Okay. No. All right.
Let me press this button.
I mean, you got to gaze upon my love, my rockin' body in a bathing suit, apparently. So, like, I thought that may have gotten me some points, but.
Man. Yeah, no, that was not worth a bundle.
Oh, boy.
I would call Katie in here to defend me, but I'm pretty sure she'd be on your side.
She would laugh a lot.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of giggles. There'd be a lot of giggles. All right, the Anger Check-In is supported by our wonderful patrons that pay for my pain and anguish over at patreon.com/TAC. Huge thanks to our Patreon producer, Dustin C. If you'd like to become a producer, help us keep the lights on and get thanked each and every week, check out patreon.com/TAC. Or if you just want to become a patron, dollar or more, you can set your own amount. You want like a really meme-y amount. You want to give us, you want to pledge for 6.9 YOLO. Sure, you can do it. Does anyone say YOLO anymore? That is horribly date myself. I'm going to move past this by saying go find the back catalog of episodes at theangrychicken.com or youtube.com/amove2. We're live Monday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on twitch.tv/amovetv. And you should definitely check out next week's episode because Alkali will be joining us from the Hearthstone team to talk about the new community. I'm missing the buzzword already. The
creator system? Program.
Creator program. Thank you.
You were close.
Sometimes I'm useless without notes. Anyways, before we leave, the Anger Chicken isn't the only thing the three of us do. Around the table, Jocelyn, where can folks find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Twitch. I'm at JossPlays. That's J-O-C-E Plays. And come and check out The Gamers Inn. It's my general gaming podcast. I'm going to be talking about Ghostwire Tokyo this week.
That game looks freaking cool.
Spooky. It's so cool.
It makes me want to do hand things. makes me think of Naruto, and I didn't even watch that much Naruto.
You do finger guns.
Audio listeners, you're going to have to go to the YouTube to see what's going on now. There are so many hand motions.
Yeah.
Hand jive. It's an old AMV with Naruto that plays hand jive. And that's what I'm thinking of right now.
I believe you.
Anyway. Ridiculous Hat, where can people find you?
You can find me, the hub of my content is twitter.com/ridiculoushat, where I say things. And also, I say things in longer form over on couple other Hearthstone podcasts, Coin Conceit. We make the competitive side of the game more accessible to you over at coinconceit.com. And then also over at Vicious Syndicate, we talked about that earlier, data-driven look at the standard metagame on the podcast side over at vicioussyndicate.com. Also, bunch of pre-expansion articles, including class-by-class reviews and 30 decks to try in day one. Those articles are up. Also, I'm going to shout out my long-dormant Hades podcast, Hidden Aspects. We actually woke up the feed a little bit in the past week because I recorded a podcast with my wife in my kitchen table about Elden Ring. So if you want to hear people talk about Elden Ring without being gatekeepy or mean, then that's the place to go. Here, where can people find you?
It's because people can't Twitter reply to a podcast.
I mean, you and I both know that's not true. It just doesn't happen while we're recording. That's not true either. We don't pay attention to it while we're recording. And this wasn't live streamed because it was just me and my wife in my kitchen.
Elden Ring is the best game I've played since Witcher 3, and I'm a little worried it's going to go the way of Witcher 3, which is a game I still haven't beat, but I still think is probably the best game I ever played.
I beat the game 40 hours faster than my wife did, and I still spent 80 hours on it. It's a big game. It's a large game.
Yeah. I'm about to hit my summer break in my master's, and I can't wait to get lost in that game. Anyway, if you want to hear about the other game I am getting lost in, it's called Final Fantasy 14, and you can go to youtube.com/amovetv right now to see my video journey through that game. I'm gonna toot my own horn. I'm really proud of this project. I've never had a video first project before. YouTube's just always been where we dump the podcast and nobody watches it because it's terrible for the algorithm. And documenting my playthrough of Final Fantasy 14 with my good buddy Kyle Ferguson has been going really well, and it's really exciting. And it's fun to flex like all of the creation muscles I have, because it like everything I know about audio, everything I know about video, everything I know about visuals, and also talking about video games goes into this project, and I'm really stoked about it. And the video we put out last week is on trend to be our best performing video, which is really cool, because up until this point, our best performing video of the last month was one where we talked about WoW and not Final Fantasy 14. I'm really happy about that. very excited. So go check it out. YouTube.com/AMOTV. Just finished Heaven's Ward. And if you want to hear my thoughts on that, well, go watch the latest video. It's going to do it for this episode of The Angry Chicken. Hope everybody enjoys release week of Sunken City. Get out there. Get your feet wet.
That's good. Nailed Let's it. Go with that. I like that.
I ruined it by realizing that it was kind of funny before I said it. Until next time, job's done.
Job's done.
Job's done. Crab raid.
Job's done.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.